Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your love in revealing your mind, your will, your word to us. We pray, Lord, we respond to you as obedient children, loving children, grateful children, that we can hear your voice. And we pray that whatever we have to do to be obedient, Father and Father, help us, Lord, to obey and to respond the way we ought to respond, in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 28. I read from verse 3. Now Samuel was dead. That means he had died. And all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Many good things we do when the men of God, the prophets of God, and the preachers of righteousness, when they are around and they are up and doing. We do many good things, but when they leave the stage, then there will be the proof whether what we did was from their hearts, or we just did superficially. Samuel had anointed Saul. And at the time of his anointing, God gave him another heart. In New Testament language, converted. He was converted. He had a new heart. And he followed after the Lord for some time. And Samuel kept on following up on him until he allowed the fear of man to derail him, distract him, and made him to go astray. Samuel still saw him, warned him. When you were little in your sight, the Lord chose you. But now, see what you've done. And Saul said, I have sinned. But all the same, honor me before the people. You come to a stage in your life when the honor of men seems more important than your relationship with God. And he went on and on and on. Samuel prayed in a very sorrowful way, because God said, Samuel, leave the man alone. I have rejected him. How long are you going to keep on mourning for him? And eventually, God sent Samuel to David's home, to Jesse the father. David was anointed. Saul knew about it. Eventually was pursuing David to kill, to destroy David. All he wanted was just to keep the throne, the authority. But the Lord had left him at this time. Now, after he had killed the priests of God, and there was no prophet near him counseling him anymore, Samuel was gone. He had difficulty and challenge He sought God apparently, but God said, our God is not a cheap God, that after you've killed all those priests of God and you want to kill the anointed of the Lord, just come, pray, 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 prayer. And then God will continue to answer. God said, no, he is not cheap. He's a great, mighty God. And when God did not answer him, he now thought of an alternative. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. They didn't have to go and ask any other person. You see, all these servants that are following after Saul, they didn't even have the conviction he had at the beginning. He had killed and destroyed and sent out all those people that had familiar spirit. And these servants knew that the familiar spirit people, the witches and the wizards, the sorcerers, they were still operating, but they said nothing. Now Saul came to his wit's edge, and he said, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, and without batting an eye. They knew where they were, and they said, there's one at Endor. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, and Saul disguised himself. Why? He knew it was wrong. When you are doing something that is wrong, you know, the conscience still told him, it's wrong. This must not see the light of day. He disguised himself. You know what that means? He put off the robe of a king and he made himself ordinary, disguised himself. He debased himself. He dethroned himself, and he became like an ordinary person and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him. Whatever we do and we're trying to hide, he tried to hide. That's why he disguised himself. But look at it in the word of God, it's reaching. It goes on record, even what people disguise to do. And they try to change. They change their voice, and they change their look, and they might even try to change their number. And they have a kind of drone that they use, and they send across something. It's all disguise, but you know, you might hide it from man. It's on record, and now everybody is reading about it. I don't know how many billions of people have read what Saul did not want a few people in Israel to know. God knows it went on record. And whatever you do, disguising yourself, hiding behind a curtain, is reaching down. You must repent. And he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. By night, that's what he do. They cover under darkness, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. Verse 9. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest. She didn't know she was talking to Saul himself. What Saul has done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits. And the wizards, not only the people that have familiar spirits, the witches and the wizards, out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life, to cause me to die? Saul must not hear this. The king must not hear this. But woman, is Saul standing before you? Saul had lost all conviction. Saul had lost all contrition. Saul did not have any backbone anymore. His balloon is punctured, and he has nothing left. And then we're told in verse 10, and Saul swear to her, look at this, by the Lord. That's how they call the name of the Lord. They tell lies, they call the name of the Lord. They deceive, they call the name of the Lord. They disguise, they call the name of the Lord. They're doing something forbidden, they still call the name of the Lord. They still look religious, saying, as the Lord liveth. Saul of all people saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. We're looking at the message, the danger of rebuilding once destroyed reliances. Reliance, the relationship that he had before, he had destroyed them. And those once destroyed reliances, he wanted to rebuild again. The danger of doing such a thing. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, reading from verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel. For asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Galatians chapter 2, reading from verse 18. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed in the past, if I, this is personal now, and you apply it to yourself. Don't just read the word and run. Stay there. Meditate. Apply. And investigate. Are there things to destroy it in the past, according to the word of God? And now you are rebuilding. Are there relationships to destroy it in the past? Reliances to destroy it in the past? Are there some real valuable things in the past that you knew this is sinful? And at the moment of conviction and contrition, you said, if I'm going to get to the kingdom of God, which was the most important thing for you at that time, if I'm going to get into the kingdom, this must not go with me. You destroyed them. But now, after many years, and you've forgotten the conviction and the contrition and the condemnation of those days when the fire of conviction was burning, and you destroyed them. But now, if you go back to them, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. The danger of rebuilding once destroyed reliance. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the denunciation of consulting with familiar spirits. Number two, the degradation and compromises of fallen Saul. Number three is the destination of companions like former familiar Simon. Number one, the denunciation of consulting with familiar spirits. God denounces it. God condemns it. God commands against it. You might call them by other names, whatever mother name you call them. Familiar spirits, they are not the same as the Holy Spirit. Horrible, terrible, hellish spirit that people consult. There is the denunciation. Three things. Number one, we're looking at three things here. Divine denunciation of any connection with familiar spirits. Number two, damning defilement through contacting familiar spirits. And number three is decisive demarcation, that you know you come to the point you have to cut it off. It's decisive demarcation from contaminating familiar spirits. Number one, divine denunciation of any connection with familiar spirits. Leviticus chapter 20, we're looking at verse 6. And the soul that turneth to after such as have familiar spirits, after wizards, to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Well, that's what God said. And God is the same God today as at that time, because he will not have the spirit of the devil to contend or compete with him. He will not give the glory of his miracle working power to the familiar spirit, both at that time and today. And when people are preached what they call prayer that is not really from the heart but from the head, and they have not been answered, then secretly they go to Habali somewhere, and they go to people having all these rub my stomach for me and do this and do that, and they do that secretly. And those people that have the familiar spirit of the witch or the wizard, and they go to consult them, God condemns that. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 18, I'm reading from verse 10, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh a son or his daughter to pass through the fire initiation. When people want to join a cult, they call them to do some unreaching, unspeakable things, dangerous things. And it says that is forbidden by the Lord, and it is not something we smile over. And then it goes on to say, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Somebody might hide under some name. I'm a sister. I wasn't clear. Witch. I'm a walker that doesn't clear a witch. I am known to the leaders of the church. They know I'm a good, dependable person that doesn't clear a witch. If a person is a witch, you might cover it up. But it says God denounces it. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, or a chairman or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard or a necromancer. That's the people that consult the spirit of the dead. They want information. They can't get all the information from the Bible. They can't get all the information from the preaching of the word. They can't get their comfort from the Holy Ghost, who is our comforter. They must have association and connection with the dead, necromancy. And they must, if they're going to get any instruction, they cannot have the guidance of the Lord, of the Spirit of God. Because when he is come, the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth. But they're looking to the dead to give them guidance. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God has driven them out from before thee. Verse 13, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Understand? It's using that word perfect in connection with the fact that you don't have anything to do with the people that have familiar spirits, with the witches, with the wizards. You're perfectly cut off from their night meeting. You're perfectly cut off from speaking their language, from wearing their dress of identification. There are people that wear some kinds of dress ordinary people may not recognize, but they have the mark, they have the symbol, so that when their people having familiar spirits, when they see them, they recognize he is part of their cult. They might go to church, they might even preach, they might even do whatever. He wants us to perfectly cut off any relationship or connection with familiar spirits and witches and wizards. Verse 14. In verse 14, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, if you are a child of God, as for thee, the people of God, the Lord thy God has not suffered, allowed, permitted thee to do so. Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 19. Galatians 5, now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft. Don't say you are born again if you're into witchcraft and you're still in witchcraft. I've confessed my sins, I've repented. You repented of the open ones that people knew about. But how about the witchcraft? How about consultation with familiar spirits? Did you repent of that? How about all those, you know, herbal notes, you know, when you have this, how to say this and how to say that, all those incantations, you still say them? But I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm a child of God. No, because witchcraft is one of those things, and hatred and variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Verse 21, envies, murders, and drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. New Testament. They which do such things, consulting with witches and wizards and familiar spirits, they will not inherit the kingdom. But look at number two. Number two is damning defilement through contacting familiar spirits. Contact a familiar spirit brings defilement. Leviticus 19 verse 31, regard not them that have familiar spirits. Regard not. What does it mean to regard? Honor them not. Appreciate them not. Befriend them not. Rely not on them. You leave the direct instruction of the word of God. Is any man sick among you? That's what we're told. It says, let him call for the elders of the church. And we know them, the pastors, the district pastors, and the group pastors, and the region overseers, and the state overseers, and the national overseers, our leaders. Let him call the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and the Lord shall save the sick. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. But instead of obeying the word of God, they go to consult with, they regard somebody. He's not even a worker, or some of them say they are workers, and they sit somewhere. Have you heard about a woman? You know, they had problem, and then when we went to her, and this is what she did, and this is what she did. And there are people who are introducing members to such people, and they have regard, they have honor, they have appreciation for such closed door behind the curtain woman that is not even living straight. And they use this and use that. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. When you consult them, when anyone consults them, now, they may not be of any lasting value, just like when Saul consulted the witch at Endor, and there was no value added to his life, he still died. There might not be anything added to your life, but you are defiled. He says, I am the Lord your God. He doesn't want us consulting, contacting, regarding, honoring, or going to all these people that publicize themselves that they are the power of God. Revelation chapter 21, we're looking at verse 8. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, but the fearful, why did Saul go to consult with familiar spirit? Fear. The Philistines were up against him. He had done everything he thought he could do, but without repentance, and there was no answer. And so, because of the fear of death, that's why he went to the witch of Endor. Now, the fearful, the people who fear and fear and fear. After all, we're going to die one day. Death, it's appointed unto men once to die. Don't fear death, fear hell. Fear the final judgment. And make sure you seek the face of the Lord and you have the witness of the Spirit that you're born again, that your name is in the book of life. Then, if death comes, welcome that death. Rather than being so fearful of death, you run to the wrong place. And eventually that death comes and meets you in a place it shouldn't miss you. It says the fearful, the unbelieving. Why did Saul go to the witch of Endor? Unbelieving. When Samuel was alive, he believed it was wrong to consult with familiars. We drove them out. But now Samuel is dead. He didn't believe anymore there was anything wrong with, witches and wizards, sorcerers. He didn't believe anymore. Maybe they can even offer him some help. Do you still believe that false prophets have nothing to offer you? Because many will come and say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name? And we have done many wonderful miracle works in your name. And Jesus said he will say unto them, I never knew you. Not that they were backsliders. He never knew them. How then were they doing all those things they were doing? You can tell. Familiar spirit is another spirit which is not of God. But people will not know. And it says the unbelieving, when you don't believe the promise of God that is for you, and you don't believe the people God has raised up, and because they don't do any kind of gymnastic thing and spinning and speaking in tongues and the public over the microphone, I don't think they will help me. They're unbelieving. And that's why people run to those other sides, and they're abominable. And God said all those that have familiar spirits abominations before him, and the murderers and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, that's another name for the witches and the wizards, and the idolaters and all liars, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now those who consult familiar spirits, how many years are they going to live on earth? 100 years, 120 years, 150 years. After that, what? What shall it profit a man if by consulting familiar spirits, by consulting occult powers, he has all the success, all the money, all the abundance, everything on earth, and he loses his own soul? What shall that man, that woman, give in exchange for his soul? They help you, help in quotes, for 100 years here on earth. But 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 years on the other side, in eternity, they perish and they suffer forever and ever. Look at number three. Number three is the decisive demarcation from contaminating familiar spirits. He wants us to cut off. He wants us not to have anything to do with them. Isaiah chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 19. Isaiah 8, verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, you know, all those advisors, when they shall say unto you, Well, you've consulted, you've done regular medicine, and look at your condition. You've called them in the church, look at your condition. And their senior pastor, your senior pastor has prayed for you, look at your condition. And now they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mortal. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living, to the dead? Look at verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, if those advisors, if those counselors, if the people that try to link you up onto all those, dark, occultic, hidden powers, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. No light in them. Second Chronicles chapter 15, and I'm reading from verse 7. Second Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your labor, your work shall be rewarded. Verse 8. In verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Odej the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. The prophet spoke and said, Asa, follow after the Lord, and the Lord will be with you. But if you forsake him, and you do like the other kings have done, seeking after this and that, there's danger. So he took courage, and he broke off from all those idols and all those hidden, dark, occultic spirits. There are people that may do that, but they do that far away from home. That is, it's not difficult for them. They see there's something there on the street. They even dig, and they dig away what they call territorial spirits, and they throw them away, all those substances. But now Asa went beyond that. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, and also, that word also very important, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Back at home, the mother of Asa had been, having all these idols and all these abominations. And in the reform, in the revival that Asa now brought up, you see what he did? He was able to take away even what the mother at home had. Can you do that? Can you go back home? And if there's any idolatry there, you know, you brought mother from the village to come and take care of children, to come and take care of this and that. And while you are back, when you're in the church, you know, the mother you brought from the village is teaching, you know, your children about their family background, religion, and everything. And you come back home and your children are saying, "Daddy, do you know the name of Andy? They mentioned the idol, they mentioned this, and how did you know that?" A grandma taught us. You do anything about that? Here you are. You can be loud in the church, and you can discipline anyone in the church that does this and does that. Go back home. And if there is anything of idolatry, anything of occultism, anything of false spirit, deal with it. Then we know that you are sincere, you are serving an impartial God, and you have the same nature that that impartial God has. And anywhere there is any appearance of evil, familiar spirit, occultism, you deal with it decisively. Come to point number two. Point number two, the degradation and the compromises of falling Saul. Falling, already falling. Not just that he is falling, but he's already falling, falling Saul. We've read in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3, verse 7 to 10. We know his story. Hebrews now chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back like Saul did, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. When Saul went back to the witch, even before that, when he went away from the word of God, the soul of the Lord had no pleasure in him. Any man, any woman, any leader, any preacher, and you're looking for success, and you're looking for crowd, and to build the crowd, and to have open door here, it's Jesus that gives open door. But if you have not been given, and you just want the open door, and you want miracle, 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 and then you turn back from the Lord to seek for power any other place. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Look at three things here. We're looking at number one, backsliding Saul, returning to formerly forsaking familiar spirits. Number two, bereft Saul, rebuilding fatal forbidding supports. Number three, broken Saul. His backbone had been broken. His confidence broken. His life broken and shattered. His dream broken. Broken Saul, ruining himself and others by false, foolish steps. Look at number one. Number one, backsliding Saul, returning to former, forsaking familiar spirits. In Proverbs chapter 26, we're looking at verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. A fool returneth to his folly. What Saul did made him a fool. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. We're reading from verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than with them than the beginning. They got saved, they knew the Lord, they had the knowledge of salvation through Christ, but they now go back again and they return. It says the latter end will be worse than the beginning. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. 22. In 22, but it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul, the pig that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Number two is bereft soul, rebuilding fatal forbidding supports, the support of evil spirit that is smashed, the support of familiar spirits that he destroyed in the past, the support of witches and wizards that he eradicated and said, you will not be in the land. Now bereft of confidence, of trust, of faith, bereft of joy, bereft of excitement to go to the battlefield, he now sought the forbidding support. And we're told in Galatians chapter 2, verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, you once destroyed them on the basis of conviction based on the word of God, and you're not even go in front of the house of those, cultic people. They might, look good, and they look nice, and they distribute, rice, jollof rice every Sunday, and they, go to various houses just to tell people how good they are. But you know that the use of occultism, the use of occultic power, and sometimes when they perceive somebody as their enemy, they know what psalm to read, and they know what color of candle to burn, and they know what hour of the night they must burn incense so as to kill and destroy the fellow they perceive as their enemy. You know that. And yet, after you have totally given them up, now, you say, I was immature at that time. But anybody can help anybody. You are going back to your old vomit, and you are going back to them. I don't know how to fast too much, but they know how to fast a lot. And if they can fast for me, I'm not going to leave my church. I'm still going to remain in my job, but they can fast for me. There you are. there you are. The things you once destroyed and the things you once turned your back on, you're going back to them. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. We're told in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. When you start living by fear, you're going back. When you start living by superstition, you're going back. When you start living by the old idea, you know, there are some of these old men in the village. And you know, they can be of help, they can shield, they can protect. Some of these people, they have elderly wisdom. Yes, you know, in the past we thought they are this and they are that, but now we realize that they have the wisdom of the ages. There you are. The just shall live, not by superstition, not by fear, and not by the ideologies and the principles of the old tribe. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Saul went back unto perdition. He died the death of someone doing an abominable sin in the sight of the Lord. But were them that believe to the saving of the soul. The Lord will keep our souls in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes being a Pentecostal Christian, a charismatic Christian, may sometimes play a negative game on us, that we don't know how to endure pain anymore. In Jesus' name. And if the pain does not leave that minute, we're saying, but why? But why? No endurance anymore. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. We cannot endure pressure or pain anymore. And a little kind of persecution coming against us, we quote the promise of God, we forget the other side of the coin, that we, through much tribulation, trouble, trial, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And once we try to pray as Pentecostal Christians, charismatic Christians, and the pain, the pressure is not taken away immediately, and we will seek, maybe I should seek an alternative. There's endurance. There is perseverance that we know whatever happens, I'm not going to go back unto perdition. You will not go back to perdition in Jesus' name. Number three now, broken soul, ruining himself and ruining others by false, foolish steps. He himself confessed. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 21. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes. This day, behold, listen to this, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. I appraise the fool. Why don't we remember always what we have said in our sober moments, in our moments of consideration, in our thoughtful moments? When Saul was thoughtful and he looked at his life, he said, David, I have sinned. I have played the fool. I have erred exceedingly. Saul, how about this other step you are taking now to seek for you a woman that has familiar spirit? Is that not also playing the fool? Is that not also sinning? Is that not also erring, going astray? Seriously, exceedingly, consider when you were in your sober moment what you knew about yourself. Stand by that. Broken Saul ruined himself, and he ruined others by the false and foolish step he was taking. Jeremiah chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 5. Jeremiah 17 verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man, whatever his position, whatever his exaltation, whatever his wealth, whatever his authority, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Don't you ever have confidence in any man more than you have in God. There's a curse of God on those who replace the Almighty with mortal men. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, getteth success, getteth victory in battle, and not by right, not by the right means, shall live them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. At the end shall be a fool. And that's what happened to Saul. And we need to take care, we need to take caution that it doesn't happen to us. Point number three. Point number three, the destination of companions like former familiar Simon. In Acts chapter 8, we have a Simon. And this Simon had privilege, opportunity, and he saw quite a lot of miracles that Philip performed by the power of the Spirit of God. But unfortunately, his witchcraft did not fully leave him. Look at three things here. Number one, the description of counterfeit Christians with familiar spirits. Number two, the deliverance of conditioned Christians from fearful spirits. Number three, the destiny of courageous Christians with a faithful spirit. Number one is the description of counterfeit Christians with familiar spirits. In Acts chapter 8, reading from verse 13. Acts chapter 8, verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. Then the Simon that bewitched the Samaritans with his witchcraft, with his occultic spirit, and he thought he was a great man. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Eventually, the church at Jerusalem heard about the fact that Samaria had obtained, had received the word of the Lord. And he sent Peter and John. And when they got there, they laid their hands on those believers and they received the Holy Ghost and the inordinate desire and the sinful covetousness of the past showed up again in Simon. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. That's how they do it in the world. They buy position, they buy power, they buy whatever. And familiar spirit people, they do not give their service free. Witchcraft, occultic power, they do not give their gifts free. And so Simon went back to that kind of idea. In verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. In verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. There are people there today, they might be close associates of Evangelist Philip, close associates of preachers who are dynamic, and yet they have this covetousness in their heart. And whatever it will take, if it will take money, they'll give money. If it will take flattery, they'll give flattery. If it will take fighting other people, beating other people down to lift up the Philip they are following, they will do that. They just don't have the spirit of Christ. They have another spirit. They're willing to do anything so that they will have this power, this position, this authority. They're counterfeit Christians. We're looking at number two. Number two, the deliverance of conditioned Christians from fearful spirits. There are people who are being conditioned to be fearful, either by, you know, the way people talk to them. They talk much of the world than of the world. Oh, they say, be very careful. You know, the world, they can do this and they can do that. Or maybe because of what they themselves are searching and looking for. And because anything you're searching for, you will get. And, you know, they will bring it to you. Or even we know that if you're in the habit of looking for something, that even the thing will pop up by itself because they've studied your pattern of searching, scrolling. I want this, I want that. And they'll bring that to you. And all that you see, all that you hear, will be bringing you to the condition of fearfulness. But the Lord will deliver us completely in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, and I'm reading from verse 15. Romans 8:15. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. There's the spirit of bondage that, you know, every little thing you're afraid. That thing there, you're afraid. That fellow is showing that thing, you're afraid. In the land of freedom and independence, everybody has freedom to show whatever they want to show. That's them. If sinners are who they are, sins must remain who they are. If cowardly people are who they are, courageous people must remain who they are. And if the people have ulterior motive, if they are who they are, if the evil spirit is helping them to be evil, then the Holy Spirit should be helping the believer to be holy. And nobody should have such power on your mind, on your conscience, on your disposition, on your personality to make you fearful. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Can you say that? God is your Father. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. Amen. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And thou anointest my head with oil. My cup, tell me, runneth over. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They will see me, they will see you succeeding. They will not be able to disturb, to destroy, to stop what God has said you will be in Jesus' name. We don't have to run here and run there looking for help. God is your help. Amen. He accepts you up to this point. He will keep on helping you. Amen. He will never leave you. Amen. He will never forsake you. Amen. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What will man do unto me? They won't do anything unto you. Yeah. And Jesus said, friends, fear not man, who has power only to kill the body. They don't have power to kill your own body, but they have power to kill the body. The body of the people are under them who fear them, because even the very ears of your head are all numbered. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And God who delivered you will deliver you at present. And will keep on delivering you and preserve you until his heavenly kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're looking at verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In verse 7, for God has not given us, tell me. Now you are going to make it personal. Instead of us, you'll say me. For God, say that, has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Now we need to think it through. Now, if God has not given me the spirit of fear, if I discover that the spirit of fear is trying to enter, I must ask myself, who is trying to give me the spirit of fear? Oh, it's a man who wants to control my life. It's a man who wants to have me for a slave. It's a man who wants to bring me back into bondage. And before he can bring you into bondage, he has to do things and say things and show things that will crack your wall, that will make the spirit of fear to enter in. Because he knows if he can condition you to have fear, 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 every time you see him, every time you see her, all you will remember is that man has power, that woman has power. He can destroy me, she can destroy me. And that spirit of fear then will bring you under their authority, under their bondage. You'll not have conviction anymore. You'll not have confidence anymore. You'll not have any independence in your life. But when you realize, not just a man, what can he do? Not just a woman, what can she do? Whatever she's doing, whatever he's giving, let him withdraw that. Let her withdraw that. I don't need anything, any gift from anyone that wants to enslave me. Let them take their offers away. I depend on God alone. Whatever I do not have from God, I wait until he judges it fit to give it unto me. When you are like that, you'll not fear anyone. You'll not allow the spirit of fear to take over your life, because it says God has not given us the spirit of fear. Those who have been going to churches where, you know, they have all this occultic power and they're trying to come out to repent, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the prophet there over here, that this fellow is going to call and said, I hear you are going to, you are trying to go to a church, higher church, deeper church, greater church than this one. If you leave this place, then they'll put a curse on them. Every bad thing you ever escape from will come back to you. And if that fellow does not understand the promise of God, we're going to Jesus. How am I going to Jesus and confiding in Jesus, trust in Jesus, bring any evil upon my life? If they don't understand, they'll fall back to that occultic church, occultic assembly. But we who are children of God, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is not of God. The fear of man. So you cannot say everything you need to say. The fear of a woman. So you cannot stand on what you need to stand on. All that fear is of the devil. God erase all that fear from your life in Jesus' name. That's how they bring people into a bond, you a familiar spirit. And that's how they bring them into that false spirit, fearful spirit. You're delivered in Jesus' name. We're looking at number three here. Number three is the destiny of courageous Christians with a faithful spirit. The Lord grant you a faithful spirit, a faithful heart. Revelation chapter 17, and I'm reading from verse 14. Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall war with the Lamb, that the Antichrist and his company, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, I am called, and chosen, I am chosen, I'm faithful, I'll be faithful. He has called you, and all things will work together in your life because you are called. No evil power, no evil spirit, no witchcraft, and no spirit of the dead, and no dream. Whatever you dream, you just throw them away. You wake up and you read Psalm 23 to yourself. After that dream, you dream and they're trying to come. It's all fake. It's all fake. It's not real. It's a dream. And no bad dream will cancel the word and the promise of God in your life in Jesus' name. You wake up and you read Psalm 91, and you know that they that dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, you abide under the wings and the shadow of the Lord. And it says, "Well, salvation will he honor you and with long life." What kind of life do you have? Any dream able to cancel that? Any demon able to cancel that? The devil will use a lot of means to try and bring spirit of fear by their familiar spirit into your life. But to say no, when you say no, no evil can penetrate anymore. If the walls of your faith are crushed, mend those walls right here today. Familiar spirit, no more. Yeah. Fearful spirit, no more. Yeah. And all those spirits that are trying to tear your faith down, no more in Jesus' name. Yeah. Nay, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He gave himself for you. Nothing of this world will conquer you. Yeah. Don't go to them. They will not come to you. Yeah. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer.
He has assured us, he called us.